Amen. Good morning again. Thank you for being here. Thank you.
TJ, missing you.
Thank you for your encouragement to me. And Dave, thanks for the new songs. You know, we don't want to sing the old ones over and over and over again. When we get into the new ones, we go, let's go sing an old one. No, I appreciate that. I got to stretch my wings a little bit there, vocally and otherwise. So let's enjoy that and appreciate being able to do that. Let's go to our Father in prayer before the lesson. Precious God, wonderful Heavenly Father, dear Lord, I pray that your word, your truth will be spoken so that your will be known. Father, we want to know your truth. We want to stay with your truth. We want to follow your truth that we might obey your truth. Father, there are so many lies out there. There's so much smoke and confusion. Please help us to rid ourselves of all the filth and the dirt and the smoke and that which gets in the way, and see you clearly, and see and understand your word clearly. Please help me now as we teach it, that I might get myself out of the way. Always for your glory, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Don't forget. Don't forget the truth. Remember. Do you remember? And you'll say, what? Do I remember what? Which, of course, is an appropriate question. We are standing on the shoulders of courageous pioneers. As soon as I say the word pioneer, you think of the valley. If you've been around here very long, you think it wasn't yesterday, Pioneer Days? Was that celebration in Palmer yesterday? You think about the pioneers who came here in the 1930s and the hardships that they had, but you don't have to go back even that far to have real hardships here in Alaska. Deadly wilderness, miserable conditions, killing temperatures with no homes, no safe warm homes to go into. You would survive based on how well and quickly you could build that fire. Isolation, extreme hard work, and that's just in the building of our own communities here. We had a 4-lane highway. We have an 8-lane highway going by the front of this building when you count the two side roads out here. Paved, high speed, heated buildings, running water. We stand on the shoulders of some courageous pioneers, some giants, but not just Alaskan. I mean, economically, we have a powerful, healthy economy in this country. Don't listen to economists. If the employment rate goes up, the economists will say, oh my, that's terrible. The inflation rate's going to go up. If the employment rate goes down, the economists will say, oh my, isn't that terrible? There's more people out of work. So it doesn't matter what happens in the economy, and economists will tend to say it's terrible. But we have a healthy, powerful economy in which jobs are available and we can have income. We have stores. We're surrounded by stores that have tens of thousands of products, and most of them we can afford. We have comfort. Socially, we are the beneficiaries of courageous people who in my lifetime put their lives on the line so that social justice, so that integration, just sensible, common sense integration, that a mixed group of people could be together in one place, could learn together in one classroom, could meet together in one church. People died for that. within our lifetimes, and we're standing on their shoulders and reaping the benefits of their suffering. And oh, by the way, we need to be that kind of a congregation. Oh, how I wish we were more integrated here in the valley. The percentage of minorities in the Matanuska Valley is very small, but we need to be open-armed and open-hearted socially. Politically, we are the beneficiaries. We have liberty. We have freedom. Men and women sacrifice themselves, their own lives, their money, their property, to stand up to deadly and terrifying governments. In our own revolution, we call it. Spirit of 76. And we have a government that, at least on paper, at least in its promise, is still for, of, and by the people. You're the boss. The president and the Congress and the Senate and the governor, they all work for you and answer to you. That's an incredible blessing. And faith-wise, the courage of the 12 that went out from Jesus. Repeatedly, they went out in confusion until after they'd seen the resurrected Christ. He said, "You wait here and I'll send you a comforter. I'll send you the Holy Spirit." And after that, they went out with courage and purpose. And they were killed for it. They were beaten for it. But they laid for us a foundation of faith. And those early Christians were tortured and persecuted. But they laid out for us a continuity, a steadfastness, an example. And even in this country, those who first came here had the vision and courage to come here for freedom to follow God, as the scripture said, freedom of religion. Don't forget those who've gone on before you. What happens when we forget? Well, really, what happens is we turn foolish and prideful and ungrateful. If you don't remember and you don't appreciate that we have let's just pick the economy, that we have a rich and vibrant economy to be able to have the homes we have and the cars that work so reliably and the stores that surround us and the income. If we're not grateful to those who went out and speculated their money and worked and served and slaved hard to get their auto industry going or whatever it might be, then we're just ungrateful. And if you've ever had anybody shake their finger in your face when you were being stupid and they said, "You are so ungrateful," you probably bristled up and said, "Oh, no, I'm not," or whatever, and then thought about it later and said, "Oh, yes, I was too." Prideful and ungrateful. I'm amazed every time I turn around, I run into another place where humility is a good, really healthy thing to apply. And in remembering these things, humbly remembering the truth of what's gone on before us, we can be grateful people. Do you remember the cross? Well, Robert, I wasn't there. Yeah, but do you remember the cross? Do you know the story of the cross? Well, sure. From his place beside God the Creator, the Father, Jesus left that place of peace and comfort and came and walked on this earth and suffered every temptation and suffering that you and I can suffer, and was crucified for it so that we can go back to God ourselves. Do you remember the cross? Do you remember Juno? What? Yeah, it's a capital. It's right down the... No, not that Juno. Do you remember gold? Some of you are already with me. Do you remember Omaha? It's a little different than the cross, but it's also a place of suffering. Juneau, gold, who's with me yet? Omaha, sword. Those are the beaches of Normandy as they were called on the Allied maps for D-Day. I don't usually go back in military history during a lesson like this, but we tend to forget. We tend to let June 6th just come and go. I saw somewhere some sign. We were driving down the road and it said, today is, you know, practical joke day or something. It was something flippant like that. It was June 6th. It was last Wednesday. And I thought, have we skipped over remembering? Have we skipped over remembering 200,000 soldiers, 200,000 British, primarily British and American men, who went into the teeth of the Nazi war machine to bring down a tyrant? Not as conquerors, not to conquer Europe, but to liberate. That's what's so honorable about so many of these wonderful things we can remember, is because we get the blessings of somebody else's courage. Some other pioneer who came here and cut that trail. Well, I'm about the millionth person to go down that trail. And I get the blessing of that first guy with the axe. Let me read you something. This is written by Chuck Hurlburt of Ithaca, New York. He was in the 299th Combat Engineer Battalion. And he went into the first wave on D-Day in Normandy, June 6, 1944. Over our uniform, we had put on our field jacket and then these impregnated coveralls. They'd stand up by themselves. They were so stiff. They were impregnated to resist gas. And then on top of that, a bandolier of bullets, your gas mask, an inflatable life belt, your backpack with the mess kit and rations and a shovel, your steel helmet. You made sure that was fastened, and your rifle. Everybody had to carry a bag of explosives. I had fuse lighters. Another guy would have a bag of C2 pellets. Everyone had a bag to carry. While you've got 50, 60 pounds of equipment, you could hardly move. He describes, it's quite long here, he describes coming in on the landing craft, but I'll skip most of that. When the landing craft dropped him off, the rubber raft was right behind us, so I grabbed a tow rope and started pulling. The raft was full of explosive, all our explosives, and I wanted to get it over to where we could use them on the obstacles. So I'm pulling, and all of a sudden a mortar comes over and hits the raft, and the whole thing blows up. I remember seeing thick black smoke and debris flying. Hearing that loud explosion, I guess it blacked me out. I somersaulted. The next thing I know, I'm on my hands and knees spitting blood, and I have the worst headache you can imagine. My ears are ringing. He makes his way up across the beach and is hiding behind a sand dune. He says, right after that, I'm sitting there wondering, what am I going to do? The sand dune is only about 3 feet high, and I'm sitting against it. It gave you protection from small arms fire, but not from mortars. So I'm crouching there, shaking cold, freezing to death. You're soaking wet, wondering what's going on. What happened to our plan? Trying to make some reason out of chaos. All I could see was chaos, catastrophe, boats burning, smoking, dead men all along the water's edge, craft getting hit. It was awful, awful, awful. I said, oh Jesus, something's not going right here. He continues for a couple of more pages describing that day. If we don't remember and appreciate the liberties won by young men like that, that was a long time ago, at least in that sense, he's passed on now. We're foolish, ungrateful, and prideful. You think you've made your own life? No. Do you remember the cross? Don't forget the cross. Look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 32. Start in verse 31. So Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Humble gratitude, thankfulness for the courage of those who've gone on before us, from whom we enjoy blessing upon blessing upon blessing. And I'm not talking about D-Day alone. I'm talking about life and God's blessings in your life. Do you remember? We're reading a book at home called The Giant Killer. It's a dual story about a family who's taken in a couple of rascally boys for several months and the difficulty that is. And the story that the mother is telling the children, it's an allegory about a knight going up against one giant after another. Giant sloth, giant pride, giant untruthfulness, or giant untruth. And how he has to defeat each of these giants in his life to learn to walk with Christ. It's that kind of a story. But there's one place in there in which he's walking along past a swamp. It's called the Swamp of Forgetfulness. And he hears a voice calling out for help, the knight does. Very faint, out in the Swamp of Forgetfulness. And he tries to follow the voice and not fall into the swamp himself. And he finds one of his helpers, one of those on his side. Gratitude is out there. And she's stuck in the swamp and she's sinking. And the whole point is, don't forget God's blessings on your life. How sorry we'll be if we can't be like Daniel, who in Daniel 6:10, knowing the king's decree, knowing the suffering he's probably going to undergo. Now when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he entered his house, and now in his roof chamber he had windows open toward Jerusalem. He continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. We need to be thankful to God, always. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Pay your vows to the Most High, Psalm 50, verse 14. We need to be a thankful, grateful people. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul writes, verse 12, I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. Yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Jesus Christ. It's a trustworthy saying, deserving full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Or as the NIV says, whom I'm the worst. I am so grateful for the cross. I am so grateful that Jesus Christ came into the world not to look for the good folks, not looking around for those who were worthy and terrific and honest and honorable and outstanding people. He came looking for the hurting and the messed up and the wrong and the rebellious and the hardened. He came looking for us, for sinners. We need to be so grateful. We need to be so grateful. Romans chapter 1, verse 8, Paul thanks God for you, that you being the church in Rome. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. Personally, we need to be grateful for your brothers and sisters sitting here, for the church here and in Anchorage and wherever you can remember it or see it or have known it. Not being grateful is sad, prideful, foolish place to be. Personally, you need to be grateful. Who taught you about Jesus? Who baptized you? Have you thanked him recently? Who taught you to read, like the bumper sticker says? Can you read this bumper sticker? Well, thank a teacher. We've got some graduates to honor today. And this is a great time to think and go back. And especially to those teachers who were hard on you, who held you to the correct tough standard, who maybe gave you an extra paper to write. That you go back to that person and say, thank you for not letting me get by easy. Thank you for caring about me. The swamp of forgetfulness is a terrible place to sink. Who changed your diaper? Oh, I know it's a pretty easy answer for most of us. But you got to remember that every one of us had our little feet held up in the air with our little bottom sticking out, and somebody wiped that bottom. Don't think about that too much. But every one of us went through that stage in our life. Did you skip it? Were you born at 13? Puppies don't come home house trained, and babies don't arrive potty trained. And they did it over and over and over and over and over again. And you know what? Your parents hardly remember that part. They remember the smiles and the hugs and the parties and the games in the backyard. Oh yeah, they remember the bottoms too. And if you ask them, they'll remember the late night walking you when you were screaming and screaming and screaming because your fever wouldn't break. And they were so tired, they were ready to collapse. We were comparing babies the other day. Everybody's probably had one of these in their arms if didn't have them in their own home. And that is, the baby's just as happy as can be. Just settled, just fine, just fine. And you're really beat. So you go to sit down. And as soon as you sit down, okay, you get back up and they're quiet. And so I used to figure out, okay, if it feels like I'm still walking, you know, maybe I can sit, lay down partly on the couch, or maybe I can lean up against the... No, it didn't matter. Was it Adam caroled like that? It was Adam. It didn't matter how I tried to rest. If I was getting any rest out of it, he was hollering. Do you remember that? Do you remember somebody walking you? Do you remember the cross? No, because I wasn't there. Do you remember somebody walking you and wiping your bottom? Well, no, I don't have those memories. But it happened. It happened. Don't fall into the pit or swamp or forgetfulness. Don't forget what's gone on before you for you to be sitting here blessed and cared like you are. For every part of it is thanksgiving to be given to God and thanksgiving to be given to those who love you. Interesting story in Nehemiah chapter 12. The story of the book of Nehemiah is a good read. It's all about rebuilding Jerusalem after the enemy armies have destroyed it. And the wall, the protective wall around Jerusalem is gone, flattened, destroyed. And Nehemiah, he's just a servant. He's a cupbearer. He stands around holding the king's cup. And he ends up being the head engineer, the superintendent. He's the project manager for rebuilding the wall. Not necessarily because he had the training for it. He just had the heart for it. He cared. Well, after the people worked and worked and worked and slaved and worked and worked, every family, every set of people had their own section of the wall. And they worked day and they worked night and they guarded against enemies and they stayed up all night and they worked in shifts so that the work would never stop. After all of that labor, they gathered together, and it's a beautiful description of all of them that gathered together. It gives it by name, which we won't take time to read the names right now. But in Nehemiah 12, verse 27, now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites from all their places to bring them to Jerusalem so they might celebrate the dedication with gladness, with hymns of thanksgiving, and with songs to the accompaniment of cymbals, harps, and lyres. They were praising God. They worked, they rebuilt the wall, but their praise and thanks went to God. Their remembrance of who brought them there and who blessed them was to God. Remember the truth, for that's what will set you free. You need to know the truth and remember the truth about God's blessing, for there we're free. We're trying to build our own building here. It's not a wall around Jerusalem, but it's a building up the road. And I've been gone a few weeks, you know. And I'm thinking about how to talk about this, and I was going to come back and say, we need a couple of families, a few families to step forward with $100,000 or more in contribution. We have families who can do that, I think, who in faith can do that. We need families who can step forward with $50,000 in contributions or more, or $10,000 in contribution or more. We have families who can do that. If you remember to reach our million goal, it's about $7,500 per family. Well, I was thinking about that coming back here. And the first time I walked in the building and I picked up the bulletin from the Sunday before, it listed the contribution to the building fund from the month of May, I believe, was nearly $130,000. We had a family step up with that $100,000+ contribution. Praise God. Thank God. If you didn't notice the big jump in red over there, we had the yard sale, the garage sale this weekend, and two weekends now, and the total, the grand total, came to $2,002. Thank God for every bit of it, including the $2. We need to praise God and step out in courage like those who got us to this place were courageous. Wasilla and Palmer and this area doesn't exist because people were timid and afraid. They stepped out in courage. The United States doesn't have religious freedom because people were afraid, because they came and stepped out in courage. Somebody didn't teach you about Jesus Christ because they were afraid, but because they loved you and taught you the good news about Christ. And like the courageous people who rebuilt the wall under Nehemiah's leading, who rebuilt the Jerusalem wall and had enemies all around them threatening them, they succeeded because of God's blessing and their courage. Last week, Pete came to me and said, Ben's still short in his one-time contribution, about $1,700 short. He needed $3,000 to be able to cover the one-time expenses, and he's still $1,700 short. And I said, well, the church will want to know that. Somebody will want to take a special on that and cover it if we can. It didn't even make it that far before somebody stepped forward and took care of it. We set off Danny this past Monday and put up a tree here, a money tree, to give her some support to get her going and to get her working down in Australia. The ladies who picked off the contributions that were in joy put on that tree counted over $800 given to Danny on her way out the door. God's blessing continue to flow and flow and flow through your hands. You see, gratitude doesn't just produce appreciation and thankfulness. Remembrances doesn't just produce humility. It also produces those same qualities of courage and generosity in our lives. Remembering that Nehemiah led those people and in the face of their enemy rebuilt that wall and then thanked God for it produces in us courage to do the same sorts of things. So don't forget. Don't forget the reason you've got a job. Don't forget the reason you can read and you've got character because your mother loved you and taught you principles of character and your father stood by you and made sure you followed through on those principles of character. Appreciate why you can sit in this building. Some of you here helped build it, but not most of us. We didn't even get to pay for much of it. It's been paid for long before a lot of us got here. Remembrance, appreciation, thankfulness, always to God, always to God. You remember the cross? On that cross, Jesus died for your sins. His blood was shed so that we can be washed whiter than snow. If there's anybody here ready to follow Him and have the courage to walk in Him and be cleansed by that blood, we're available now to help you be baptized.